Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to share with you some thoughts over the next few Wednesday nights as we have opportunity on how can anyone fail of the grace of God? How can anyone fail of the grace of God? And I'm going to hopefully share with you the communication of the Apostle Paul with the Corinthian believers that were there about the truth of grace and that it goes beyond salvation. That grace, of course, is clearly presented in salvation. But I want to tell you something, folks. We need the grace of God in the Christian life. The grace of God is a powerful thing. It's an all-encompassing thing for the Christian. I want to give you kind of a broad definition of grace tonight. We're going to read the Word of God here, looking through the first 10 verses or so of this passage of Scripture. And I'll just give you a few thoughts tonight. We'll dismiss a little bit early to our prayer group so that we can pray for our nation and for special prayer requests that we have. But hopefully, put your mind in a framework. Am I calling upon the grace of God each and every day? Am I trusting God to supply to me what I need to be able to live the Christian life? Am I trusting Him in moments of despair? Am I trusting Him in times of sleeplessness? You ever had a sleepless night where you just could not seem to get to sleep? Paul had those nights. The Apostle Paul shares with us in this passage of Scripture that he called upon the grace of God in sleeplessness. It's not uncommon for us in our physical bodies, cursed by sin, to have those kind of nights where it's just hard to sleep. How about during times whenever there's affliction, sickness, it's just gnawing at you, and you just don't have the strength? What do you do in those moments? Is your first thing to call the doctor, or is it your first mode of action to call upon the grace of God? That, folks, is true, genuine Christian living. It ought to be just as natural to us as breathing, that we immediately go to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm having a difficult day. This seems like there's just one trial piling on top of another. Lord, I need Your grace. The grace of God is the unlimited and infinite love, mercy, favor, and power of God shown to you and to me. That's what grace is. There are shorter definitions of that. Some people define grace as God giving to you what you do not deserve. Grace is often defined as unmerited favor. And that's certainly true. But I think we need to get the broader understanding of grace. That grace is the unlimited and infinite love, mercy, favor, and power of God that is shown to you and to me. It's shown to the sinner, and it's shown to the saint. And you and I, the moment we get saved, grace doesn't end there. Oh, I'm so glad for the grace that saved me, but listen, I'm so glad for the grace that sustains me. That's my constant supply from God, His love, His favor, His mercy, His power that is with us every moment of the day. You've got to depend on it. It can't be something. But the Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture that sometimes there are people that fail the grace of God. They fail. It's useless to them. I think that's a sad commentary. And we're going to look at that over the next several weeks. And I hopefully will bring this out and share with you three ways in which we fail of the grace of God. And then how the Lord has laid out what grace can be used for and the supply and how it can be used in the Christian life here in this passage of Scripture. Let's read it beginning at verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now, we have to connect. There's a parenthesis here in the Scripture. So you have to connect verse 1 and verse 3 together if you're going to get the flow of the thought of the Apostle Paul. So let's read the last phrase of verse 1 and then move immediately to verse 3 so we can see what he's saying here. I beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, giving no offense in anything. That word giving no offense is the Greek word for triggering the trap. Triggering the trap. How is a mouse trap triggered? Well, you put the bait there, and the mouse begins to fool around with the bait, and as he does so, that movement triggers the trap. When we do not take advantage of the grace of God, we are triggering a trap. When we let it fail. When God's grace is supplied and we don't take advantage, we don't cooperate with God in the supply of grace to us, then we give offense. We are triggering the trap, as it says, and the ministry gets blamed. God's work gets blamed. Notice verse 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions and necessities, in distresses and stripes and imprisonments, in tumults and labors and watchings and fastings. Now notice all of those. That's just normal life, is it not? Isn't that normal life? We deal with these things. The Apostle Paul dealt with these things. I need patience. Well, how do I have patience through the grace of God? Well, how about afflictions? How can I get through those through the grace of God? How about the necessities of life through the grace of God? In distresses through the grace of God? In stripes? Oh, Paul had been beaten on several occasions. How could he endure that through the grace of God? In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors. Oh, the labors of life, just daily labor. How can I endure? How can I deal with a classroom of children that seem to be on edge today through the grace of God? How do I deal with a family situation? I've got so many financial pressures on me, and now I've got one more thing piled on my plate, and maybe it's a family member that needs help, and it's just constant pressure. How do I endure that? I think you know the answer. Through the grace of God. Don't let it be used in vain. Don't let it fail. Because we do not seek to use it. Verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now you know what he's describing here in these verses? He's describing how grace works. How it works in the daily life. It works by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left. He's not left us unequipped to face things of life. By His grace, He has supplied everything that we need to do what God wants us to do. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know as God's child? By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, can you have grace whenever people are saying bad things about you that aren't true? Absolutely. Can God assist you and help you with that when you have the mental torture of people saying something that's not true and you're having to deal with that? How can you get through that? By grace. By the grace of God. As deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. All of those things relate to the grace of God. And yet we find in this passage, as he speaks to the Corinthians that were there, there were many in that church who were failing of the grace of God. Doesn't seem possible, does it? And yet it is. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing as we consider His Word tonight. Father, we thank You for the testimony of this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we definitely, desperately need Your wonderful grace on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis. And yet so many times we act like the culture. We try to find reasonable means within our reach that we can use to get through situations. And many times we disregard the grace of God. And as a result, it becomes empty. It becomes vain because we have failed of that grace that's supplied to us as your children. Lord, we thank you for the grace of God that was ministered to our souls through salvation. And tonight reaches out to those who are lost. That wonderful grace of God that has provided Jesus Christ. For grace and truth came by Him. But Lord, we know that grace doesn't stop at salvation. Grace is the constant supply and love and favor and mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray we might take to heart the challenge of this word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage begins with an encouragement. And we probably won't get very far with this tonight, but it begins with an encouragement. I think it's wonderful how the Lord seeks to talk to His children, and He used His servant Paul to communicate the truth through pen of inspiration. He begins, "We then, as workers together with Him." It's our privilege to be workers together with God. The Greek word that underlies this particular translation is the Greek word synergunteis. It's two words put together. We get our word synergy from that. What is synergy? Synergy is two or more things functioning together to produce a result not independently obtainable. And let me say that again so you can get the heart of this word here. It's two or more things functioning together to produce a result not independently obtainable. Can I obtain my salvation? No, I cannot. If I were to die for my sin, it would not be sufficient, and I would go to a devil's hell because I'm condemned, the Bible says. I'm condemned already. But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, what's the key there? Whosoever believeth. The way is made. God has provided the way of salvation, but you must what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have everlasting life. Synergy. That's not me working to obtain salvation, but it's me believing in Jesus Christ. That's how I obtain salvation. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There will not be one person in heaven that did not believe. You understand that? God doesn't treat us like robots. He said, okay, you can go to heaven, you can go to heaven. No, no, no. It's by faith that we believe. By grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8 tells us. And so we need to see that. But not only in salvation is this true, but also this synergy is required in our daily Christian walk. This working together with Him, whereby He supplies His grace and we supply our will, and we mesh with Him and we're able to conduct our daily walk with God. And as a result of these things happening, work is done that would not have been done. Think about that. A student would not have been taught at Santa Rosa Christian School if there was no teacher to teach. A person witnessed to would never hear the gospel because the Bible says it requires a preacher to go and deliver that gospel. Evangelism. We spent all summer on that topic. You know, God is pleased to use us to communicate His Word. A Sunday school teacher in a classroom dedicating their life to communicating the Word of God. Oh, how many of us. Raise your hand if you were influenced by a Sunday school teacher in your life that shared the gospel. I raise my hand. I remember many a time during baseball season as a child, coming in this auditorium and sitting in those old metal chairs that we used to have, and Aunt Carolyn telling us a Bible story. And I'd be sitting on the edge of my seat because she made the Bible live in my heart. I didn't trust Christ till I was 14, but it was a steady dose of individuals communicating the gospel to Todd Brainerd. And as a result, I came to the place where I repented at age 14 in 1978. I repented and believed the gospel. Now, you and I are to cooperate with God on a daily basis, whereby He pours out and supplies His grace, and we respond to that grace and that power and that love that He sheds abroad, and we are able to minister. Let me tell you something. People that are living in the grace of God can live with other Christians. You understand that? People that have a problem with everybody. I just can't stand that person. You know what? No doubt the trouble is with you. What? It can't be me. Oh, yes, it can. The problem is you, you're a little dry. My dad used to work on the railroad whenever he was a young man. And one of the jobs that he did is that in the days as they were transitioning to the new diesel power, they still had the old steam engines on the Baltimore and Ohio where he worked there in Cleveland. And it was his responsibility to go around and pack the wheel bearings. Isn't that a fun job? Pack the wheel bearings on those rail cars. He'd go and he'd slop the grease down inside those things and close the lid on it so that they wouldn't have what they called a hot box. A hot box was a dry bearing. And it would be smoking and steaming. They'd have to wait for it to cool off, and then he would start packing that thing if it wasn't seized by that point and fill that bearing full of grease so it'd be ready to go. That was his job. There are some Christians, bless their hearts, that are dry bearings. Everywhere they go, they squeak. They're squeaking about this and squawking about that. Okay? How many of you like to listen to squeaky things? It drives me nuts. I have a can of WD-40. I mean, I start squeaking and squawking when my can gets empty. Honey, I need to get that on our list now. I got to have my WD-40. I cannot stand doors that squeak. Okay? On a vehicle, on the house door, you go to a closet. WD-40 time. Put that on there. I'll work it back and forth really good. Make sure it's not squeaking, and we're good to go. You ever had a squeaky wheelbarrow? You load it up. You haven't used it for a while. And you go out there to get the leaves, and it squeak, 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 squeak. Go over there, squirt it with WD-40. You're back in business again. Now, when I grew up in pre-WD-40 days, my dad was a firm believer in Vaseline. That... Vaseline is the world's greatest gift to mankind. My dad used it on everything. He'd reach up for a door handle and he'd get Vaseline grease all over your hands. He'd lube those things up. If something wasn't working right, get the Vaseline. And he'd pack it in there and load it up. And that was his thing. Anything that squeaked got Vaseline. If you started squeaking, you just prayed Dad wasn't around because he'd lube you up. It was just natural to him. All right? And I'm not speaking in the past tense because he still uses it quite often. I find it every once in a while when I go to a door or shed or something like that. Dad's been here with his Vaseline container. But you know what? There are some Christians that get squeaky. And they're just grinding and squeaking and squawking. And you know what you need? You need to have God take His grace gun and put it on the zerk fitting of your life and fill you up with grace. Because whenever you get filled up with grace, I want to tell you something, you start getting along with other brothers and sisters in Christ. All of a sudden, when God's grace gets a hold of your heart, instead of cussing them behind their back, you're praying for them. Instead of always being at odds with them all the time, you want to encourage them. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I appreciate what you did on that. And people... was that the same person that was squeaking and squawking last week? That was making all... yeah! Let me tell you something. In a church, in a home, in a Christian school, in a ministry, on the mission field, it doesn't matter where you're at. If you get low on the grace of God, you're in trouble. You'll start squeaking, and everybody will know it. Everybody will know it. And what you need is let God get a hold of you and start putting that grease down on that dry bearing of your life and pump you full of His grace. And then all of a sudden you lift your eyes off of yourself, off of you, self, all about me, and you put your eyes up under the hills from whence cometh your help. It makes all the difference in the world, folks. It makes a difference in how much work gets done for God. It makes a difference on the mission field about how missionaries are able to communicate the Word of God. If they're like this all the time, that's one thing if it's doctrinal. But it's another thing if you don't like what color dress so-and-so's wearing. There's some people that just bless their heart, they're, well, what in the world, what do they think wearing that? Well, stop for just a moment. You need some grace. Come over here. Come into God's shop. He needs to lube you up. How dare someone do their hair like that? Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How about grace? How about grace? You know, we all have our problems, do we not? Maybe there's someone who's, well, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. Well, give me 5 minutes after church, okay? I'm sure we'll find something, you know? We were talking, I don't know who we were talking with the other day. Oh, it was a lady at the soccer field. I had a good chance to talk with a lady last night. And we were talking about, and she kept saying, the plank and the plywood. And I said, excuse me, man, what are you talking about, the plank and the plywood? I don't understand. The Bible talks about the plank and the plywood in the eye. And I said, oh, you mean the beam and the moat, all right? I didn't know. She was talking about the plank and the plywood, and I was like, I have never seen a piece of plywood in somebody's eye. I just had to stop her. I said, you mean the beam and the moat? Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. I get that now. I can understand it. But we were talking about it. She said, you know, it seems like that everywhere we go, we're causing friction. And I said, welcome to life 101. We all have issues. And that's why all of us need to be in the book. Amen? Because that, as we're going to learn, verse 7, by the word of truth, that's how grace is administered. Some people think, I just will pray with grace and all of a sudden God will go, doink, and I have grace. No, grace is administered by the things that are mentioned in this passage, as we're going to see. And it's ministered by the Word of God. The reason that some of us get dry is because we're not in the Word of God like we ought to be. And so the wheel bearings of life start to squeak and to squawk. And then we become a problem instead of a blessing. I don't think anyone here tonight says, you know what, I really want to be a problem. I've set my heart on it. I'm going to be a problem. You know, you don't even have to think about that. We just do that naturally. What I think most of us want to be is a blessing. Do I hear an amen? But you're not going to be a blessing, but I'm just going to really, I'm going to go and I'm just going to wrinkle my face up and I'm going to really, and I'm going to be a blessing that way. No, you can't try really hard. You've got to get into the Word of God and you've got to go to the sources of grace that God communicates in His Word. So God help us to be fully lubricated so that we don't squeak and squawk. That we can be a blessing to each other. We can be a blessing at home. We can be a blessing in the Sunday school classroom. We can be a blessing in the Christian school classroom. We can be a blessing out on the field working. Everything. When you have the grace of God in your heart and life. But when you let the problems of life build up, Dr. Hobbs always used to talk about how people have their assets and their liabilities, all right? Now, for the Christian, our assets should always be higher than our liabilities, okay? That's also a good financial principle too, right? All right, now, in America, it's the other way around. We got, for every dollar we get, we spend $4. That's not a good, sound financial principle, is it? Well, the same is true in the Christian life. You've got to have your assets up here, but some people let the liabilities creep up here. As liabilities go up, you know what happens to grace? It's going down here. Not that grace is leaving you, but you're leaving it. It's becoming in vain. You're not using it for God's glory. So, may we be encouraged by that. We'll share some more thoughts about the encouragement that Paul gives here, and then we're going to get into the different aspects of grace in the future.